How many of you remember watching or still do watch You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx? Nobody? Long time ago? It's still on. I recorded it. It's on in the daytime, and we watch it at night simply because it's better than a lot of stuff that's on. But anyhow, one of the key things with that at the beginning of the program, he had the duck that would come down and with the secret word. Okay, well, as I read through the scripture, there's a secret word. Brother Gene mentioned that word in his prayer. See if you can, I'm not going to give you $100 when you guess what it is. So starting in verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have gained access by this faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast of this in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. And hope does not put us to shame or disappoint us, but because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The secret word was? Hope. That's right, hope. I don't know where you get your news from, whether it's the TV or the internet or the newspaper, but regardless of the source, if you listen to the reports, there's a lot of gloom and doom, and not a lot of hope. But as Christians, we have hope. I have to define that word, actually, because there's a difference between the world's view of hope and the Christian view of hope. You know, if the world's view of hope is based on a want and a desire, and you can hope all you want that the Spurs win a championship, but it has no effect on that. It doesn't affect the outcome. I can want to catch some fish tomorrow when I go fishing. I'm not really going fishing. But I can want to catch fish, but that want isn't going to produce any fish. It's not going to guarantee that. It's as I said, it's based on a wish, a hope, I mean a desire, and a want, but it doesn't produce anything. Compared to our Christian hope is built on, thus saith the Lord. As they sing in the song, our hope is based on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So we have a hope that endures. Notice that I read the whole five verses to get down to the main point. But as I often tell folks, it's necessary often to read before and after the scripture in point. I like the way Brother Brett preaches. It's expository preaching, which is much preferred to topical. It's very easy to pick out a word or a single verse or a topic and go anywhere with it. And that's unfortunately what a lot of people do, as it gets to be a lot more opinion than it does thus saith the Lord, or the actual scripture. So in this case here, the first, very first verse is completely necessary for the entire rest of the chapter, for that matter, because everything else is based on that very first verse. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith through Jesus Christ, everything else that's stated after that is contingent on that fact, that the reader, the listener, whatever, has been justified, because otherwise the rest of it doesn't have any meaning. It's just words on a page. So so we have faith. in our Lord Jesus Christ. That gives us hope. This hope is, as you can see here, is based on a building block. First of all, being justified by faith through Jesus Christ. It also speaks of glorying in our tribulation, and that builds to perseverance. Perseverance builds character, and character, hope. And then it goes on to tell us that we can need not be ashamed or disappointed in that hope, because that hope comes to us by the Holy Spirit. It says, which has been given to you. We have to be, the moment we get saved, the moment that we are justified, we get the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we get all of the Holy Spirit we're ever going to get. As like, bam, as Lagasse would say, Emerald would say, we get it all at one time. It is parceled out to us in pieces, and a little bit here and a little bit there. We get all of him at one time. The question is not how much of him do we have, but how much he has of us. It's been said that you have as much of the Holy Spirit as you want to have. And we start talking about Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. A lot of people get nervous about that, and they conjure up visions of jumping up and down and rolling in the aisles and speaking in tongues and so forth. But that's not what we mean by spirit-filled or filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians 5, Paul tells us, verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And that reminds me of a joke I heard. So an old couple were sitting on the front porch. That's what made me think of when he said watermelon rind. I thought he said wine. Old couple was sitting on the front porch in a rocking chair, sipping on a glass of wine. And about halfway through the second glass, the old lady says, I love you so much, I don't know how I could live without you. And he looked over and says, is that you talking or the wine? She said, it's me talking, honey, to the wine. To the wine. Anyhow, he got it. He finally got it. The filling of the Holy Spirit, as I said, we is misconceived sometimes. But we're talking about in regards to the wine. When somebody is filled with wine, let's put it this way: if somebody stopped in a vehicle driving, and they've been drinking or under the influence of some other intoxicant, they would get a ticket or be incarcerated for a DUI. Driving under the influence. And that's what being filled with the Spirit means. It's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We can think of terms of being filled with. If somebody's filled with fear, what controls their emotions? What they say, do, and think, they're controlled by the fear. And we can name any emotion, rage, joy, hatred. It's that controls them. The person, individual is controlled by that element. And that's what it means to be filled with the Spirit, is to be under the control or under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
Dennis, if I may, speaking on hope, there's one scripture I like. If you don't mind me sharing this, I don't know where it is. I'm bad about not knowing where scripture is. But it says, are the God of hope. Fill you with joy and peace abundantly with all hope through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Well, so Romans 15, 13. And I was I'm coming to that, as a matter of fact, but that's okay. That's all right. I'm glad you remembered it, though.
So.
Where was I? So we have this hope that's given to us, poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And again, being filled with the Holy Spirit is simply being controlled by. So how do we get filled with the Spirit? Take a look at Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So how do we get filled with the Spirit? Through the Scripture. That's one main way. Reading God's Word. The second is to meditate on God's Word, and the third one, you know I'm going to mention this, to memorize God's Word. This past Sunday, Brother Brett gave us the most bold, that's the word I'm looking for, encouragement to learn Scripture than he has any time up to this point. And we've been doing the Scripture memorization for about 3 years now. And, you know, I keep trying to encourage folks. And I know it would mean a lot to him if more than six people got up there to quote Scripture on this fifth Sunday of this month. He really stepped out this time and to encourage people to do that. So I hope, the world hope, my desire, my want is that more people will step up this time and do that. But so we get filled with the Spirit by staying close to the Lord. Prayer, meditation, memorization. You know, the Proverbs 3 tells us that my son, do not forget my teachings. What's the opposite of forget? Remember. That's where we get the word memorization. So the command there is to remember. Memorize my word. It goes on to say, do not forget my teachings, but hide my commandments in your heart. For length of days and years of life will be given to you, and peace. Do not leave love and kindness behind, but write them, wear them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart so that you may find grace with God and favor with God and man. And then the next part everybody knows. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Lean not on your own, and he will direct your path. But the Scripture tells us to memorize Scripture, and that's how we can stay Spirit-filled, and that's how we can stay close to God. And the reward for that, what will happen when we're Spirit-filled? Ephesians 5:18 is a scripture that Paul tells us, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so the first part of the first word there is speaking. So if we're filled with the Spirit, the first thing we're going to do is tell others. We're going to speak to other people. We're also going to be singing hymns and psalms to ourselves and to others. When we're filled with the Spirit, it affects the way we talk, the way we walk, things we say, do, and think. And people will recognize that around us, not only fellow Christians, but those that are lost. 1 Peter 3:15 says that we should always be ready to give an answer to those who ask for the hope that is in us. So we should, and that's what being filled with the Spirit will cause you to do and want to do, is to be able to share the gospel with those that we come in contact with. And there's one other, before that, anybody like to share a scripture that gives them hope, that has given them hope through the years or just recently or through a specific situation? Now we can lose hope sometimes over... Yeah, that's a good one, yes. Anybody else before I share a few of my own?
One of my favorite verses that I recite frequently because I don't want to let it get away from me is Psalm 119, verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimony.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I always think of the end of James that says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man is better than much. A person that changes a man from his sin in his ways, a multitude of sins are forgiven.
Right.
Yes. Bless the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. May not understand things. Dennis, but oh, we can trust the Lord with what's going to happen to his children.
Yep. Naomi, you have something?
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us.
Amen. Amen.
There's two different sections that I've...
I know, that's all right. So you're going to do that next Sunday? You're going to say that for us on the 27th, 28th, was it, 29th? Your last Sunday.
12-1 is, huh?
You're going to say that for us on Sunday?
No, because it's not newly memorized.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. My problem, is it's not new.
Not memorized. New, okay. I'm sure that you got a new one someplace. One of mine is Isaiah 41:10. It says, fear not, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I am your God. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. That's one of them that I really like.
Similar,
yeah.
What does that say, Dennis? 13.
My mind is blank right now.
For I am the Lord thy God. Y'all know the rest of it? For I am the Lord thy God. I will hold thee by thy right hand. I do not fear. I will help you. Oh, I like anytime
yeah.
I see right hand, that is.
Almost the same thing.
Isaiah 41:13.
Yeah, they're close. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, plans with a future and a hope. Something like that. I missed that up, but that's another one. Jeremiah 29:11. There's one more benefit, one more thing about this hope that we can consider. Well, there's plenty. There's John 3:16 gives us hope. How about John 14:1-6? Do not fear. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go now to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be also. That's a promise. That's a hope that we can bank on. We can take it to the bank. And there's so many other ones. But
Dennis, may I say this one? For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sane mind.
See, you can do it. The 29th, I expect you to be up there with at least two verses. You've done four here, so you could do two up there on Sunday morning. Right? Like Brother Larry, right? Right?
Yes,
you can.
We don't know. We'll see.
We'll
I'm
see.
I'm about knowing where they are, Dennis. I like to just say them. But.
Memory. Nah, you can do it. So there's one more thing about hope that I want to share with you tonight before we close. Is Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope in appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, brothers and sisters, he's coming back.
Amen.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's coming back. And we'll be out of this mess. You know? That's the hope that we have. That's the hope that we have that the lost person doesn't have, is that we can go to him, we can count on him, we can bank on thus saith the Lord. It's been proven. It's been proven in our lives as we have seen it. And best of all, he's coming back. And for that, I say glory, glory, hallelujah.